Welcome back to Ask Me Another, NPR and WNYC's Hour of Trivia, Puzzles, and Word Games. I'm Ophira Eisberg, and you might recognize our very important puzzler from his many Comedy Central roasts, from his former show, The Jeselnik Offensive, or from listening to his top-rated comedy albums. Please welcome my very good friend, Anthony Jeselnik. Is this your first time ever being asked to do a public radio show?
Oh, yeah, for sure. last and only. In fact, I asked them when I got here, I said, are you guys nervous to have me on NPR? And they said, no, but if Ophira hadn't vouched for you, we would never have you on.
That makes me so happy. You have no idea.
I'm glad one of us is happy.
So let's talk about, for any of our listeners that are not familiar with your comedy.
If there is an NPR listener not familiar with my comedy, sure.
Yeah. We'll help them out. Yeah. By, I would describe your style as highly intelligent, shocking one-liners. You make fun of tough stuff, whether it's death or illness or societal taboos or...
Yeah, anything you think there shouldn't be a joke made about, I've got two of those.
Yeah. But your onstage persona is pretty different from your offstage persona.
Oh, sure.
When I first met Anthony, we were doing a show together, and I was terrified to meet
really?
Him because I just assumed that you could rip me apart so easily for fun.
Physically, yeah.
Physically. And then I met you backstage, and you were this super great guy. But do you get that all the time, that people are terrified of you?
Yeah, people are very scared of me because they've seen the stage persona, and then when they meet me, they're kind of taken off guard. Like, and I like that. I want you to be scared so that I can kind of seem charming when I'm not. People will be like, oh, you're so nice. I'm like, I'm not that nice. You just think I'm going to be really, really mean.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So your onstage persona... being the, I love the Dark Prince of Comedy. That is one of my favorite little monikers of yours. But you, that wasn't day one for you. You developed this character.
Sure. You kind of, you know, as a comedian, you start trying things, and the audience tells you what your next step is going to be. You know what I mean? You come up and I try to be super energetic, and the crowd laughs, so I keep following that. But for me, it was like the cockier I got, and the darker I got, and the meaner I got, the more the crowd followed that. So I thought, okay. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Do you remember a joke or a moment where you really harnessed that?
Oh, yeah. I had this joke I thought of. And my idol in comedy was this guy named Jack Handy, who was the guy who wrote Deep Thoughts for Saturday Night Live. I love those because you were always like, how did he think of the punchline? Like, how did he come to this? How did he make up this joke? And I would write my own versions of those, and they were all kind of silly. And then one time I came up with a really dark one, where I said, my girlfriend loves to eat chocolate. She's always eating chocolate, and she likes to joke she's got a chocolate addiction. You know, she'd be like, keep me away from those chocolate bars, I'm addicted to them, and it's really annoying. So one day, I put her in the car, and I drove her downtown, and I pointed out a crack addict. And I said, you see that, honey? Why can't you be that skinny? And... I told that joke at an open mic, and when comedians hear a funny joke, they don't laugh, they go, ooh.
That's right.
Which is code for, like, I wish I thought of that. And when I heard that, I was like, oh, I'm on to something. And then I just chased that forever.
And I know from watching a lot on stage that you are telling jokes, and sometimes half of the crowd is going, there's half laughter and half, happening at the same time. You're almost pushing them away to get them to come closer.
Exactly. I'm daring you to laugh. Like, that's the best. If half the crowd hates me and half the crowd loves it, I'm in heaven.
Right.
When they all love it, it's a little weird. You know what I mean? It's like if you do like a Hitler impression and everyone's like, yeah! You're like, oh no, that was not my intent.
So is there any topic that you consider off limits?
No, and if I did, if something made me uncomfortable, I would take it as a challenge, as a personal challenge to try to find a way to make a joke about that. You know, it's just, that's my only goal, is to find things that you shouldn't joke about, and find a way to make a joke.
So this is why you clearly were such a great choice for the roasts. Sure. And you wrote on your first one, which was David Hasselhoff. Is that correct?
Yes, I wrote for David Hasselhoff. Yeah.
And then the next one you performed on, and that was the Donald Trump roast.
Yes.
And
you've heard of him.
Yes. And you know, some people know who you were, but you were pretty new to the huge viewing audience, and you went up there and you really roasted people in a way that was, I think, kind of missing from the roasts for a while.
A little bit. I kind of, and I'll give her credit, I kind of took the Whitney Cummings model, and I was like, just go up there and try to cut everyone's head off. Like, it doesn't matter who they are, just go and try to destroy them. And that was me. People would watch me walk up on stage and be like, who is this pretty little dork? What is he going to do? And then I crushed everyone. Yeah.
So after the Trump roast, the next day, did your life change?
Completely.
Really?
Oh, completely. It was a completely different. Everyone was like, oh my God, you're that guy. That was amazing. And I changed because it was like you had your moment. I was like, if I do badly on this, it's everything my life has been leading up to has been for nothing. Hmm. Because this is my opportunity. And if it goes well, then I know that I've been on the right path and things are going to continue to go well. So when I did well, people thought like, oh, you're going to get so cocky when the roast is over, because I was cocky before. But after the roast, I kind of calmed down because I didn't have to be cocky. Everyone knew.
So the image on your most recent comedy album, Caligula, is of a huge shark.
Caligula, a giant shark coming out of the water, a giant great white shark.
And when we said to you, as we do to our VIPs, they go, hey, you know, we're going to write a quiz for you, anything you like. And you said, sharks.
Yeah, you sound more confident than I sound. You were like, what do you know? What do you know, like, everything about? And I was like, well, nothing. Nothing. Like, even if you were like, questions about your family, I'd be like, I'm screwed.
Right.
But what do I like a lot? Sharks.
All right, I know you can handle this, but I'm going to ask you anyways. Would you like to play an Ask Me Another challenge?
No.
Okay. What if I said, hey, guess what? It's time for your Ask Me Another challenge.
Then I'd say, I knew.
Okay, good. Anthony Jeselnik, everybody. All right, so you asked for a game about sharks, and we have written you a game about sharks, but it's not a scientific quiz. It is a quiz about sharks in popular culture. So our house musician, Jonathan Colton, and our puzzle guru, John Chinesky, will be helping us out with this game. Okay, here we go. The most famous shark in pop culture is, of course, the shark in Jaws. Director Steven Spielberg nicknamed the mechanical shark Bruce after someone he knew. Was it A, his barber, B, his lawyer, or C, his therapist?
I'm going to say B, lawyer.
I would say you are correct, of course.
Boom.
His lawyer, Bruce Raymer. Yeah, he should put that on his business card if he was like inspired Jaws.
I don't want to get too cocky, but I already have.
Because you got that right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, good.
One of the most surprising on-screen shark attacks is in a 1999 movie starring Samuel L. Jackson. Jackson is delivering an inspirational speech about how the team has to pull together to defeat the genetically enhanced superintelligent sharks that are attacking them. Then out of nowhere, he gets chomped in half. What is the name of that film?
Oh, I'm so happy you asked me that question. Deep Blue Sea.
Yeah.
Is the name of that movie.
That's
great.
Right.
One.
You a fan of the movie?
I am a fan of the movie. There's some great deaths in there. I will say that when Samuel L. Jackson is giving that speech, I knew he was about to get eaten by a shark.
You did. You saw it coming.
I did. Yeah. I'm not lying. I was like, he's going on too long. He's about to get eaten.
There's something going on. Do you know this? In the third Austin Powers movie, Dr. Evil's son Scott finally gives him the gift he always wanted. Sharks with what attached to their heads?
Okay, I've never seen the third one because I'm a comedy fan. But lasers.
More specific, please.
Frickin' lasers.
That's it.
Ballsy move asking me to get more specific. That could have gone wrong for you. I could have flipped out.
I had faith.
In the movie Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus,
sure,
starring Lorenzo Lamas and Debbie Gibson. Sorry, Deborah Gibson. This is when she got serious. A giant shark leaps out of the water and takes down an airplane. The shark, which has been thawed out from a glacier, is supposedly a member of what shark species that lived millions of years ago?
Oh, I wish this was multiple choice because I can see the... It's like a mega... I can see the name. Mega... Chronodon? So I couldn't...
Knees big tooth?
That's not helpful. Megachronodon? I think that's what I said, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Mega.
That's actually a giant watch.
Megachronodon.
Prehistoric giant watch.
I'm not going to answer it incorrectly. I'm going to pass.
All right. I'm sure the people here would like their voices heard. Anyone out there?
Megalodon!
Megalodon,
there
yes.
There you go.
Oh.
So close.
Son of a...
Puzzle guru John Chinesky, how did our VIP do at his game?
He got a majority of the answers correct. So thanks to Anthony, Stephen Fernandez from Charleston, West Virginia, wins an Ask Me Another Rubik's Cube and a copy of Anthony's comedy DVD, Caligula.
Thank you so much. Huge hand for Anthony Jeselnik, everybody.